Welcome to the Goal Line Fantasy Football Podcast, brought to you by Mikey Ostrowski in association with Underground Sports Philadelphia.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Goal Line Fantasy Podcast. Today we're going to be going over the receivers in our episode 4 here. Once again, I am joined by none other than Kyle Bennett of Underground Sports Philadelphia. How you doing, buddy?
What's going on, brother? We finally get to talk about the real meaningful receivers in the NFL.
Yeah, sorry I didn't include you in the tight end one. I just didn't think you'd find it too exciting. I know I didn't.
Hey, I mean, there's only really three tight ends that you have to worry about, and you hit on those. And if you haven't listened to the tight end episode yet, make sure you do so, because Mikey crushed it and talked tight ends for 25 more minutes than probably anybody else could.
Oh, dude, I couldn't tell you how surprised I was that I was able to pull more than the 5 minutes out of tight ends. I mean, tight ends in 2018 were just a dumpster fire.
That's putting it lightly. That's an insult to the word dumpster fire.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you didn't have one of those top three guys, it was just whatever you were running with, you were not having a good time at the tight end.
Yep, because I had Jimmy Graham, and it was hell on earth, baby.
Oh, my God. Do you remember how excited you were when you grabbed him? You were like, oh, yeah, I got him so late, and then he, you know, did what he did.
Cheers to Mike McCarthy. That's why he doesn't have a job anymore.
Yeah. But, hey, well, I guess while we're talking about Mike McCarthy and Jimmy Graham, I guess we can segue that right into our wide receivers. The number one wide receiver of 2018 in PPR formats was, surprisingly, Davante Adams, which DJ from Loaded Box swore up and down was going to happen last offseason. And I was like, dude, you're nuts. You're crazy. And he called it. So, DJ, if you're listening, shout out to you, buddy. You called it. But
well done.
How'd you feel about Davante Adams this year? How do you think he's going to do next year?
He was, like, insanely good, but just so quiet about it because the Packers were so bad. And, you know, I like Davante Adams. I've liked him since he's been in the league. I think he's going to be better without Mike McCarthy being there. I think their offense is just going to change and be a lot more dynamic. But I don't think he's going to finish as the number one fantasy wide receiver next year.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's going to either. I mean, I definitely don't think he's going to fall out of the top five. I think he has worked himself into that elite wide receiver conversation. I really do enjoy watching him play. He really is an explosive wide receiver. But there's just, I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying there's so much talent at the wide receiver position right now that I can't see a repeat number one finish.
Yeah, I see him as kind of either five or six next year, and he's dynamic. Like, he's one of those, like, dynamic, just under the radar. I'm going to go to work every day and just ball out, and then you look the next morning after he performs and he puts up, you know, a boatload of fantasy points for you, and that's Davante Adams in a nutshell.
Yeah, and so his stats, he was tied for the most targeted receiver in the league with 169 targets, did have the second most receptions in the league with 111 for receivers, and 1,386 yards in the air, 13 touchdowns. That ain't too bad. I want to say that he's going to see a regression when it comes to touchdowns, but if you remember, in 2017 he had a shit ton of touchdowns too, and everyone said, oh, he won't do it again. So I mean, I think it's safe to say he'll hit double digit touchdowns again.
Yeah, especially with, you know, the Packers not really having any other options. Randall Cobb is done. You know, MVS was a flash in the pan, and they don't really have any other wide receivers. So I see the Packers drafting a wide receiver this year. What round, I'm not sure. But Davante Adams is their clear-cut number one, and that's all they really have because Jimmy Graham's gone. And, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to throw the ball to somebody, and that's going to be Davante Adams.
Yeah, so safe to say he's going to go as a top, probably top three receiver in 2019 drafts. And you should feel pretty damn lucky if you get your hands on him.
100%.
Number two, this guy we might be talking about for literally the rest of the episode. Antonio Brown, I don't even want to say of the Pittsburgh Steelers because he will not be returning to the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2018. He's already announced. Finished with 323 fantasy points, which is only 6 fantasy points behind Davante Adams. He was also targeted 169 times, 104 receptions, just under 1,300 yards, and saw a massive 15 touchdowns. It's way too hard right now to talk about his 2019, but what's going on through your head?
I have two scenarios with Antonio Brown. He's either going to get traded or he's going to get the Le'Veon Bell treatment from the Steelers because, as we talked about earlier before we dove into some things, the Steelers are a dumpster fire of an organization right now, and they just don't know what they're doing because they gave the keys to the car to Ben Roethlisberger, and I think that was a mistake. And yeah, that's what's kind of tearing this team apart, and that's why they're going to have to start rebuilding sooner than they probably would have liked to, because now they're going to lose both of their dynamic playmakers in Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's a huge risk right now, too, especially with how the NFL handles things. You know, you saw he failed to appear in court for a speeding ticket, so he's on the docket for that one with, you know, the court system and the legal system. There's the alleged incident where he pushed his baby mama to the ground over haircut money for his son. And he's a big headache right now. And I'm very nervous when it comes to Antonio Brown because we might see him get a nice little NFL suspension more than anything else.
Yeah, that's what really scares me about being an Antonio Brown owner in my fantasy league. There's so much going on. You know, like you said, not only is he going to a different team, but he could end up sitting out. He could be suspended. It's just really scary. But let's say everything goes perfectly for Antonio Brown. He finds a new team, doesn't face any repercussions with the league, and he's on the field from week 1 to week 17 in 2019. First off, what team do you think he's going to excel the best with?
There's a number of options for Antonio Brown to go to. I have a list of like 5 teams that I think he'd be absolute dynamite with, in no particular order. The Arizona Cardinals are definitely a team to watch out for, just because they're going to get a new quarterback. They need weapons. They don't have anybody. Sure, you can say Larry Fitzgerald, but you know, he's a shell of what he was as the dynamic Larry Fitz that we all know and love. So I could see Arizona potentially making a move for Antonio Brown. I could see the Colts doing it, but it doesn't really make that much sense because they have T.Y. on the other side, and I think it would just be too much of a battle back and forth with those guys. Tennessee is a dark horse for me. I know you hate the Titans, and you know they disappointed me this year, but I think when it comes to the Titans, Marcus Mariota or whoever their quarterback will be in the future needs a dynamic number one receiver, and Corey Davis needs somebody opposite of him that's a dynamic number one wide receiver. So I would keep my eye on the Titans. The Seahawks intrigue me because if Russell Wilson was slinging the ball to Antonio Brown, I think I would just salivate every Sunday. And I don't think he's a great fit for the Eagles just because of Alshon Jeffrey being there and Nelson Agholor being the receiver he is. So I don't see the Eagles as an option. But I would also be intrigued, depending on their quarterback situation and how that pans out, the Miami Dolphins would be really fun to see Antonio Brown with.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that you mentioned some of those, because I honestly, I wasn't thinking Miami, and I definitely wasn't thinking Tennessee, but I can see it. Personally, if Antonio Brown goes anywhere besides San Francisco or Indianapolis, I'm probably selling him. I'm probably selling all of my stocks of Antonio Brown. If he goes anywhere where they have, and even Indianapolis scares me because Antonio Brown, let's face it, one of the main reasons why he's leaving Pittsburgh is because he doesn't like to share. And Juju is cutting into his workload, and Antonio Brown is being a total diva about it. And that problem would just arise again, like you said, if he was doing battle with T.Y. Hilton. So in the grand scheme of things, my perfect scenario is that he lands in San Francisco. He's got Jimmy Garoppolo. He's got George Kittle. He's got Jerick McKinnon, who's coming back, and then Marquise Goodwin could be a pretty solid wide receiver too down the line.
I would also keep my eyes on the Jets too, because if they just decide to not take Le'Veon Bell off of free agency, he would be intriguing to me with Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I think it would definitely make the Jets almost worth watching on Sundays. but Sam Darnold needs a weapon, and I mean, there's not many better weapons to give a quarterback than Antonio Brown. I'm personally not even going to begin to guess where he's going to finish in 2019. But unless he falls into a perfect situation, I think his days of being a top three receiver in fantasy are over.
Depending on where he ends up. I don't think they'd be completely over, but I could see him slipping out of, you know, the top three, but still being like a top six wide receiver.
Yeah, there's no doubt. He's still going to be good. He's still going to be a wide receiver one. But I just – he had so much chemistry with Big Ben, and it'll be really interesting to see him with a different quarterback, because anytime – I mean, granted, Pittsburgh's never had any legitimate backup quarterbacks, but anytime a backup quarterback would step in – I mean, Antonio Brown would just – they had no connection, and Antonio Brown couldn't do anything with it. So I'm just nervous for 2019, but – we'll move on from Antonio Brown, because we could talk about him all night, I'm sure.
Yeah, don't be shocked if he sits out the year too, just like Le'Veon did.
Yeah, so keep an eye on him. When news drops about Antonio Brown, I can almost guarantee me and Kyle are going to be hopping on the pod and talking about it, so stay tuned for that. So the number three tight end PPR formats in 2018 finished 16 less points than Antonio Brown, with 307, had 120 receptions, which was the league leading for receivers, on only 140 targets. So he was targeted 140 times, and he caught the ball 120 times. Michael Thomas from the New Orleans Saints is a complete monster of a receiver.
He's also a big baby and likes to steal ski mask ideas from originators and call it his own. So he's also a thief, so yeah.
As you can tell, there's not much love for Kyle and the Saints.
I'm sorry. The New Orleans Saints as an organization, as a fan base, they're a bunch of babies.
Hey, man. I'm a Carolina fan. I understand that.
Yeah. We're like that meme where it's, you know, the big two strong arms kind of grabbing each other, and it's, you know, Panthers fans, Eagles fans talking shit about the Saints.
And there we go. There we go. That's why we're good friends, buddy.
Exactly, man.
But he had 1,376 yards. He had 9 touchdowns, averaged 11.5 yards per reception, which is pretty damn good. I think Michael Thomas is a pretty safe bet to stay in the top five. As long as Drew Brees is around in New Orleans, I think Michael Thomas is going to be a very safe bet as a top 10 and a decently safe bet as a top five.
Yeah, definitely, and my hot take is that he is kind of a product of Drew Brees, because I don't think he'd be putting these numbers up anywhere else.
Yeah, there's a handful of quarterbacks that can make any receiver look good. I mean, for God's sakes, Tom Brady makes Julian Edelman look like a good receiver, and I don't think Julian Edelman is very great at all.
Just for all those people out there, Julian Edelman is not a Hall of Famer.
I agree completely. I love that. I love what's going on Twitter. There's so much talk about Julian Edelman. There's so much talk about Gronk. I personally think Gronk is a Hall of Famer, even in his, you know, abbreviated career, because I think he's going to retire this year. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Michael Thomas, 2019, a very safe bet to be a top five receiver. Moving on. This next guy probably, in my opinion, has the best chances at becoming the new wide receiver one overall for fantasy football purposes.
He's the GOAT. He is the GOAT. He's an alien.
He's got a great quarterback. He's just a phenomenal receiver. Mr. DeAndre Hopkins of the Houston Texans.
He's an absolute monster. I like DeAndre Hopkins a lot coming into this. I love him now. He's easily my favorite wide receiver. You know how much of a Julio stan I am. DeAndre Hopkins has stolen my heart, and he's just one of my favorite athletes overall. He's unbelievable.
He's phenomenal. He was one of, I believe, only three receivers to top 1,400 yards. He had double-digit touchdowns, scoring 11, and he had just under 14 yards on average
per
reception.
He caught every pass that was thrown to him this year.
Yeah.
He's an alien. That doesn't happen.
And you know what? The best thing about Hopkins, too, is every week there's a highlight reel catch. Every week.
Every single time. And he has kick-ass outfits that he wears the games, too.
Yeah, he's phenomenal.
You can't slander DeAndre Hopkins even when he's wearing a kilt walking into a game. He's he's just too good. Like, he's that good that he can just say, I'm showing up in a kilt. Like, my sister has that same, like, skirt. But DeAndre Hopkins wore it better.
Oh, absolutely. This guy can do no wrong. DeAndre Hopkins.
He's too good. He's a perfect human being.
And it's, you know what, it's not even a hot take. DeAndre Hopkins is going to be the number one receiver.
100%.
2019.
And he's just an overall good dude, too. Like, you talk about wide receivers being divas and everything. DeAndre Hopkins is, like, one of the best, most genuine guys in the NFL, too, which makes him that much better.
Yeah, and he knows his worth, but he's not an ass about it. Like,
exactly.
He's just an exemplary receiver. DeAndre Hopkins is, in my guess, he's probably going to be the first receiver taken in most drafts in 2019. So if you're planning on taking Hopkins with a second round pick, don't even bother because he's a first round pick.
Yeah.
Hopkins 2K19. You heard it here first.
He's one of the few non-Philadelphia Eagles that I would cop his jersey.
There you go. This next guy was great for the first half of the season, and then the last half of the season left a lot to be desired. Finishing as the fifth and final receiver to have over 300 fantasy points in 2018, Adam Thielen. I know you and I talked about Adam Thielen a little bit before we hopped on the pod. Tell everyone what your thoughts are on that.
So Adam Thielen has unbelievable talent, don't get me wrong. But the amount of people this year that just talked about, oh, Adam Thielen is the greatest thing since sliced bread. You know, he was a walk-on, and he got a tryout with the Vikings, and now he's doing all these things. And he could have a movie about his career and everything. Stop. Just stop. Like, all that stuff rubbed me the wrong way with Adam Thielen this year, and, like, I'm one of the few people probably in the whole Twitterverse of NFL Twitter that just can't stand Adam Thielen anymore. He's good. Don't get me wrong. He's not great. There's a difference when you look at this list. You know, Devontae Adams, great. Antonio Brown, great. DeAndre Hopkins, great. Some of these other guys we'll get to are great. Adam Thielen is just very good. Like, that's what he is. He had a nice little hot streak going, cooking with Kirk Coupons, and that's all there is to say about him. He's very good. That's all I got to say about him.
Oh, he is definitely very good, but you're right. He's not an elite receiver, and he really doesn't deserve to be thrown in that same conversation, and it shows. I mean, he looked good with Case Keenum 2 years ago. He looked good with Kirk Cousins this year until Minnesota just fell apart for whatever reason. But he is one of the guys. So, by the way, we're going to go over the top 12, not just the top 10 today, because there are so many receivers that we want to talk about. And I can almost guarantee that we'll come back to Adam Thielen, because we'll just talk about it now while we're on him. You got to think he's falling out of the wide receiver one range, right? Like, I don't think he's going to be a top 12 guy next year.
He's a low, low, low end wide receiver one to, like, high mid range wide receiver two.
Yeah, like, I'm thinking best case scenario, he finishes as, like, the wide receiver 11. Like, the best case scenario, yeah. And that's if Kirk Cousins fixes himself, because he looked like garbage at the end of the season.
That's if Kirk Coupons is their quarterback next year, because I don't know if you saw that article. They might try to go get Case Keenum again, and I will laugh myself off of a cliff. There was a Pro Football Focus article, or Pro Football Talk, one of the two, that came out and said that the Vikings might be eyeing Case Keenum if they can move Kirk Cousins, and I will laugh myself into a pool of money if they trade Kirk Coupons after one season to bring back Case Keenum when they could have had him. It's more of a reason for me to laugh at the Minnesota Vikings.
They could have spent a hell of a lot less money on Case Keenum, too.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's like hashtag chefkiss.gif.
So Adam Thielen finishes as number 5 in 2018, and don't expect another 300-point year out of him.
No, he's not doing the 8 straight 100 receiving yard games again. It's over. It's over, Johnny.
It's over. But this next guy, I like him. He is definitely not the most consistent wide receiver you can have in fantasy football, but when he has a game, boy, does he have a game. Tyreek Hill of Kansas City.
He's unreal, and I forgot to mention with Michael Thomas and DeAndre Hopkins, too, but now that we're on Tyreek Hill, all three of them won our Stat Sheet Fantasy Football Player of the Week polls this year. Make sure you cop your merch, tpublic.com, search Underground Sports Philadelphia, and you can get that right there. But yeah, the Cheetah, there's a reason his Twitter handle is at Cheetah. He's just too quick, he's dynamic, and Patrick Mahomes is the perfect quarterback for him.
Yeah, because Patrick Mahomes has a cannon and a half, and Tyreek Hill is almost as fast as Usain Bolt. I mean, I know you've seen the videos of them doing a side-by-side comparison, and
there was some sort of like simulation putting Tyreek Hill's like assumed 100-meter dash into the Olympics a few years ago, and he would have finished 6th in the Olympics in the 100-meter dash. Like,
which is nuts, considering he's a football player and not a runner.
That's just beyond stupid. He's just too quick. But he's definitely inconsistent, like you said. And I think, one, that just pertains to him being as fast as he is. And two, he's in a very like high-octane dynamic offense where you have guys like Travis Kelce. You had somebody like Kareem Hunt. And they just have a lot of weapons to, you know, spread the love to. And I think that's what contributes most to his inconsistencies.
Yeah, it's in terms of real life, it's the perfect offense. In terms of fantasy, it'll make you want to rip your head out from time to time. But at other times, I mean, he's literally going to win you your game for the week. Mm-hmm. So Tyreek Hill is the epitome of inconsistency. He was targeted 130 times, which is a pretty decent number, but he only caught 82 of those. And a big reason for that is because, I mean, half the time Tyreek Hill's targeted, it's for the home run ball. And if he can come up with those 50-50 balls more than 50% of the time, that's really all you can ask for. Finishes with just under 1,400 yards, 11 touchdowns. I'm going to go ahead and say he is a safe bet to stay as a top 6 receiver. But, you know, like we were saying, he's inconsistent. He's going to get you 28 points in 1 week, and then he's going to get you 5 points the next week. So as long as you can deal with the variance and deal with the headache that comes with that, go out and grab him.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill's a guy that you just got to kind of pair with somebody else that is far more consistent, and you'll have a nice little 1-2 wide receiver tandem.
Yeah, so we just talked about inconsistency. Now let's talk about consistency. Number 7 on the list, Julio Jones, the leading receiving yard holder of 2018, actually found the end zone 7 times, finishes with 297 fantasy points. Mind you, this is something I didn't talk about yet, but I'm looking at our list of our top 12 guys. Not a single receiver on this list played in all 16 games this season.
Yeah.
So that's also something to keep in mind when you're looking for your receivers. Look for the receivers that are playing, you know, at least the 15 games, because there's obviously a high injury rate for these guys. Mm-hmm. But anyway, Julio Jones is phenomenal. I'm going to go ahead and say he's definitely going to stay in the top 7. He'll probably find his way back into the top 5. But how do you feel about Julio?
Ding dong, the witch is dead. Steve Sarkisian is fired. Julio Jones is back, baby. I'm the biggest Julio Jones non-Falcons fan you'll ever meet. He is going to be back in that top 5, probably inching towards top 3, depending on Antonio Brown's situation. I think Michael Thomas takes a bit of a step back next year, too. But Julio Jones is going to be back now that Steve Sarkisian is gone, and all of my vices and pain when it comes to Julio Jones underperforming is now gone because Steve Sarkisian is no longer the offensive coordinator in Atlanta.
Absolutely. even before he found his way to the end zone, I mean, he's still getting his yards. At the very least, like, this is why Julio Jones is so consistent. Yeah, he's going to find the end zone for you maybe every other game, which is good. You know, that's really all you can ask for from a receiver. But his yards is what gets him points. His receptions and his yards are always there, game in and game out. And that's why Julio Jones is an elite receiver in this league and in our fantasy football leagues, because he's never going to disappoint you.
Yeah, I love Julio to death. He's one of my favorite players in the league. And like you said, he's Mr. Consistency. Whether he's scoring touchdowns or not, he's going to give you double-digit fantasy points like 80% of the season. So he's like one of the best guys you can have on your team as a wide receiver one. So Julio's going to make his way into the top four, potentially top three next year. That's my take.
I would agree. I mean, me personally, my top three right now is going to be DeAndre Hopkins at one, probably Davante Adams at two. I am a big Davante Adams fan. And then it's, like you said, it's either going to be Julio or Antonio Brown at number three. So Julio Jones is, I mean, you just heard it from me and Kyle. At the very least, he's going to be the wide receiver four. So go out and pick him up.
Jay-Z, allow him to reintroduce himself. His name is Julio.
Next up, we have the root of all evil for Pittsburgh.
The youngin'.
The whole Antonio Brown fiasco. Juju Smith-Schuster finishes as the number eight receiver as a second-year receiver in the NFL. 282 fantasy points. Now, mind you, that is 15 behind Julio Jones. So those guys that we talked about between Michael Thomas and Julio Jones were in that, you know, first tier that's behind Adams and Brown in the elite tier. Juju's going to kick off our great tier. You know, not going to say he's elite, but I'm definitely not going to knock him in any stretch of the imagination. Targeted 156 times, 106 receptions, finishes 11 yards short of 1,400 yards, finds the end zone six times. I'm personally very concerned about him as a receiver in 2019 without Antonio Brown there. I don't know if he's going to be able to handle the legitimacy of being a wide receiver one. What do you think?
I'm all aboard the Juju Smith-Schuster train. I think he's phenomenal. I love Juju. I think even without Antonio Brown being there, he's still going to be dynamic, because you just look at the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers with wide receivers when Ben Roethlisberger is their quarterback. Let's take a trip down memory lane. We got Hines Ward, potential Hall of Famer, if not already. It's skipping my mind if he is or not, but dynamic wide receiver when he was in the league. Santonio Holmes, Super Bowl MVP, dynamic when he was with the Steelers. Mike Wallace, a lot of people forget Mike Wallace was with the Pittsburgh Steelers to start his career. Unbelievable with Big Ben. Antonio Brown, unbelievable, who was a six-round pick, and Big Ben's turned him into, you know, an all-pro. Plexico Burress, unbelievable when he was with the Steelers. And now you got Juju Smith-Schuster, and I just think no matter who it is, when it's a dynamic wide receiver with talent, the Pittsburgh Steelers just know how to develop wide receivers, and they know how to use them in their system, and I think Juju's going to be just fine, even if Antonio Brown's not there.
We'll see what happens. I'll agree to disagree with you on that one, because I'm still very hesitant with it. I think he is a really good receiver, but I'm hoping that he proves me wrong, because he's got a phenomenal personality, and whenever he's on, I can't help but to root for the guy.
He's insanely fun, and a lot of people forget too. He's the youngest wide receiver, I believe, in the league. He's 22 years old, so he's gonna go into next year for more than half the season at age 22. So there's a lot more to be developed from Juju in the coming years, so don't sell your Juju stock, and I would buy heavy Juju Smith-Schuster stock in 2019.
Yeah, and do it before Antonio Brown officially leaves the team.
Mm-hmm.
I think his value is going to go up in the eyes of a lot of people when he is the lone receiver. So while there is, even though Antonio Brown said he's definitely not returning to the Steelers, he is technically still a Pittsburgh Steeler. So while he still is a Pittsburgh Steeler, go buy Juju in your dynasty leagues if you can afford him.
And if you have him, sell him high.
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, you could get a king's ransom for him.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with him.
I think Juju stays in the top 12 for sure.
Yeah, I think he does too. I'm a little concerned. He finished at number 8 this year. I don't see him surpassing that, but I can see him finishing as, you know, the 8 or 9 again.
Yep, that's exactly where I have him.
Yeah, so he'll remain consistent. He's not going to touch 300 fantasy points. I'm not 100% sure if he's going to reach 282 again, but he's still going to be one of those guys that gets you over 265, and that's all you could hope for with a wide receiver one.
Love me some Juju, baby.
This next guy is the biggest surprise on this list. He's Robert Woods. He finishes with 261 points, which is 21 points below Juju. Just under 1,200 yards, 84 catches on 128 targets, and only 6 touchdowns. We know that the Rams' offense is high octane, high powered, and full throttle. And I do think going forward, Robert Woods is going to remain their, you know, quote unquote, wide receiver one. I just don't know if he's going to stay a wide receiver one in fantasy.
I totally disagree. I think Robert Woods was the beneficiary of a Cooper Kupp injury. I think Robert Woods just had some lucky coverage because he was in that Rams offense and they were double teaming guys like Brandon Cooks. And when Cooper Kupp was on the field and worrying about Todd Gurley, I think Robert Woods is the luckiest man on this list, and I don't think he sniffs the top 12 next year because he's going to slot back into being that wide receiver 3 with Cooper Kupp being healthy again. I think Brandon Cooks is a better wide receiver than Robert Woods, and I think Sean McVay, Twitter's favorite little coach, is going to figure that out, and Brandon Cooks will have a much better year next year, and Robert Woods will just be their really, really good slot receiver.
I mean, I don't disagree with that. I still think, you know, when I say quote unquote wide receiver one, I think he's still going to be the top fantasy scorer for the Rams, but he will definitely receive less than 128 looks. That's a lot of targets.
Yeah, I don't even think he's going to be the number one receiver for the Rams next year. I think that's going to be Cooper Kupp because you saw that offense change drastically as soon as Cooper Kupp got injured, and that's when Robert Woods' production started going on an uptick. And don't forget, Robert Woods is pretty injury prone too, so that's something to monitor. But I think he's in that same category as like an Adam Thielen. He's very good, he's just not great.
No, not great. Good, not great. So he's number 9. Number 10 is Mike Evans, who I'm honestly surprised he only finished as number 10, especially with his numbers. I think a big part of that was that he only caught the ball 80 times on 130 targets, which is not a great variance, but 80 catches is still something. He was one of the 3 receivers to have over 1,400 yards, but he did only find the end zone 6 times. I wouldn't blame him for any of this because he was in a revolving door of quarterbacks the entire season. I think if Tampa Bay can make a freaking decision on who their quarterback's going to be, that Mike Evans could solidify himself more as a elite receiver in the league. I think he's great. I do.
Well, the worst coach in the NFL got fired, and that's Dirk Cutter. They're replacing him with Bruce Arians, who is a phenomenal guy with quarterbacks, and I'm sure he's going to help Jameis Winston a ton because you see all the comparisons that Jameis is a poor man's Big Ben. Don't forget, Bruce Arians used to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers during Ben's early years up there and helped him win a Super Bowl. So I think Bruce Arians is going to be a nice little whisper in Jameis Winston's ear. I also think Mike Evans is the doesn't get a lot of benefit because he plays on a team that had or still has 3 other really good wide receivers. And you're talking DeSean Jackson, who still has not lost a beat, and we'll see if he's there next year or not. You have Chris Godwin, who I think is an emerging wide receiver, and you have Adam Humphries, who might not be back because he's going to be a free agent, and he's going to get paid heavily. From what I've seen, he's asking for around $8 million a year, which I think is bonkers, but I think Mike
That's
Evans...
That's way too much for that guy.
I agree, and I think Mike Evans just kind of loses out on touches because there were three other wide receivers, along with an O.J. Howard and Cameron Brate in that offense. So I think Mike Evans is going to have a much better year, though, now that they have an actual legitimate NFL head coach.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you got to think that once everything else gets solved, I mean, for instance, like I said, he has 80 receptions for 130 targets. Out of those 50 missed connections, I mean, how many of them do you think were actually quality passes?
You know, few and far between.
Yeah, so I'm guaranteeing there's a hidden variance there that we can't see just by looking at the stat sheet here. But I think Mike Evans is an incredibly safe bet to be a wide receiver one, and I'm not going to be surprised if he moves his way up this list and gets into the top five, top six range.
Easy. Plus, he gets interceptions in the Pro Bowl.
There you go. So you get an extra point. You get an extra point from him or two.
Bingo. Helps the defense.
So number 11. Keenan Allen of the Los Angeles Chargers finishes with 249 fantasy points. I'm a huge Keenan Allen fan.
I like Keenan Allen. I wouldn't say I love Keenan Allen. I think he's insanely talented. He's a great wide receiver. He's injury prone. I think he's also Mike Evans-esque, where he's in an offense that has two other dynamic wide receivers, and they're going to be getting a dynamic tight end back next year. So Phillip Rivers is going to have a lot of guys to throw to, and you know, I love Keenan Allen. I just wish he was on a different team.
Yeah, but I don't know, dude. I really like the Chargers offense, and I really think that they can support him and Mike Williams, and they still got the thing going with Melvin Gordon. They are getting Hunter Henry back next year, which is actually something that I had wanted to talk about on the tight end pod, and it completely slipped my mind. So just a little quick take for you. Go back to that video. We're going to insert Hunter Henry as a potential or a definite top 10 tight end in 2019 while we're talking about it. But
Keenan Allen, like I really like Keenan Allen. I think his injury history is what kind of knocks me off of him a lot more than anything else. And I think he's great with Phillip Rivers. I just think the Chargers, when it comes to how they've constructed their team, have too many wide receivers that they just try to get the ball to, and they just need to focus on getting it to Keenan Allen and Mike Williams, and that's it.
Well, the injuries are the biggest thing that scares me away. You know what? Let's play a little quick game here. So I know receivers that you're not too fond of, and I know receivers that you are fond of. So let's play draft Keenan Allen or draft this guy.
Let's go.
Keenan Allen or Adam Thielen?
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen or Robert Woods?
Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen or Michael Thomas?
Ooh, that's tough.
See, the fact that you say that's tough, we know he's got value.
Yeah, he definitely has value.
It's just the injuries that's terrifying.
Because you don't know how many games he's going to play, and that's what makes him a crapshoot every single year.
Right. The fact that he played in 15 games this year was honestly
short of a miracle.
Yeah, very surprising. I mean, dude went up, called a pass, or called a touchdown a couple years ago, and, like, punctured his lung. he's just prone to it. So if you're going to draft Keenan Allen, don't take him too early. I mean, if he pays off, he's going to pay huge dividends for you in 2019. But beware of the injuries, and just know that there are incredibly safer options out there.
And beware of Mike Williams.
And I would also beware of the number 12 guy on this list. For the same reasons why I'm avoiding Adam Thielen. Stephon Diggs of Minnesota. I don't like the Kirk Cousins situation, as we talked about. He did have 94 receptions on 138 targets, which is pretty good. 8 touchdowns, but did have less than 1,000 yards, which is always scary for fantasy receivers, because that means he's touchdown dependent in a lot of situations. I already know you don't like Stephon Diggs, but let me hear you say it.
Stephon Diggs, here's my take, is the most overrated wide receiver in the NFL. He gets treated like Antonio Brown, like DeAndre Hopkins, and he performs like Jarvis Landry or somebody in that tier. He's another receiver that's good, but he's not great yet. And I don't know if he'll ever be great, but he's somebody that if he was on a different team, I'd like to see him.
Yeah.
But I don't get the fascination with Stephon Diggs. I think he's a good wide receiver. He's not great, and people that, you know, prop him up on this pedestal of being, you know, the next Antonio Brown, please just wake up from your dream. I'm going to slap you, give you some smelling salts, wake you up, because Stephon Diggs is not the next Antonio Brown. Nobody's the next Antonio Brown.
Yeah, and the big thing that scares me about him is out of the top 16 receivers from 2018, he was the only one with less than 1,000 yards receiving. And in the top 25 receivers in fantasy of 2018, he had the lowest average yards per reception. You don't want to rely on a touchdown-dependent receiver to be your wide receiver one. I'm not drafting Stephon Diggs to be my wide receiver one. Granted, I would definitely take him as a wide receiver too if I can get him, you know, in the fourth or fifth round. But I'm not going to be the guy buying Stephon Diggs super early in 2019.
Yeah, and I just don't like him with Kirk coupons, and he's just very Jarvis Landry-esque, and Jarvis Landry's a better PPR option, has a better quarterback, and I'd rather have Jarvis Landry on my team than Stephon Diggs, to be honest, in 2019 going forward, because Jarvis Landry just gets thrown the ball a ton of times, and that's what you want in a PPR league. He's going to catch more balls than Stephon Diggs, and Jarvis Landry, I think, moving forward, is a guy that's going to score more touchdowns with Baker Mayfield rather than Stephon Diggs with Kirk coupons.
So, pretty safe bet. Me and Kyle are probably going to agree on this. Stephon Diggs is...
the weakest link. The tribe has spoken. He's out.
Yeah, he's out of the top 12 in 2019. So we got Diggs out, we got Robert Woods out, we got Adam Thielen out, which means we have three guys that we need to slot into the top 12. Give me one or two of the guys that we haven't gone over that you think could fit the bill.
All right, so my first guy is somebody that we mentioned earlier in this podcast. He's got the best nickname in the league once I found out what it actually stands for, and that is one Eugene Marquise Hilton, also known as T.Y. Hilton. I'm going to quiz you on this, Mike. Do you know what the T.Y. stands for?
I've always wondered. Please tell me.
It stands for thank you.
Are you serious?
I swear. It stands for thank you. It's amazing.
Oh my God.
His real name is Eugene Marquise Hilton. T.Y. stands for thank you.
Wow. I agree. He's definitely going to – I mean, he finished as the wide receiver 13, so he's literally on the doorstep.
Yeah. And, you know, he always says that it stands for his dad's name, Tyrone, but I heard some stories where it stands for thank you, because whenever he gets the ball thrown to him, he's, like, thanking his quarterback. But he is the beneficiary of playing with – new, revitalized, and rejuvenated Andrew Luck, who is not running for his life behind a shoddy offensive line anymore. He's the number one wide receiver in what looks like a dynamic offense moving forward that now has a running back in Marlon Mack, that has, like I said, a dynamic offensive line anchored by Quentin Nelson. And T.Y. Hilton is going to be in the top eight next year, I would say, and potentially pushing for that Adam Thielen spot. I like T.Y. a lot, and I think he's going to have a fantastic season next year.
Couldn't agree more. He's making it his way as a wide receiver one. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
My next wide receiver that I think is going to have a much better year than he did this year and find his way into the top 12 is a man near and dear to your heart, and he's near and dear to my heart, Mr. Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's going to be a bounce-back candidate, knowing that Carson Wentz is going to be starting from the get-go next year. Alshon Jeffrey is going to be starting from the get-go next year. He doesn't have a torn rotator cuff that he's getting surgery for. And I think he's going to be a man on a mission following that NFC divisional round game where the ball slipped through his hands. And I think he's going to put the NFL on notice, and Alshon's going to have a dynamic season next year with Carson Wentz, because the two of them are two guys that are looking to put the league on notice, and I would be very terrified of Alshon and Carson Wentz as a tandem in 2019.
You know me. I love Alshon Jeffrey. He's been one of my favorite receivers in the league. ever since his sophomore season in Chicago. But I would have to disagree, and I'm not knocking him, and I'm definitely not knocking Carson Wentz. I just think that offense is the ball gets spread around way too much for them to support him as a top receiver and to support Zach Ertz as a top tight end. Not to mention they have Golden Tate there now, who I would be incredibly surprised if he didn't re-sign with them.
He's not re-signing. You heard it here first. Golden Tate will not be a Philadelphia Eagle in 2019.
We'll see about that. but I just can't see it. I mean, I love Alshon Jeffrey. I think he's a phenomenal wide receiver too, for a fantasy squad. But I just can't see him making his way back into the top.
Here's my other reasoning. You look at Alshon's stats this year. They weren't fantastic like we're accustomed to. You got to remember, he missed 3 games to start the year. He didn't come back, I don't think, until week 4 or week 3, one of the two. So he missed some time to start the year. Coming off an injury, he's got to get back up to speed. So that also played a part. So he probably wasn't up to speed, I'd say, until about week 6 or 7. So that plays a factor. That's 7 weeks that it takes him to, you know, kind of get into game shape, get into a game flow. And then Carson Wentz wasn't healthy either and was kind of just captain check down to Zach Ertz because he was, I think, more or less in his head with the knee injury and coming back from that, and I think he came back too soon. But with both of those guys being 100% healthy coming into next year, I think they'll spin a lot of heads and they're going to be surprising some people. And I think Alshon's going to find his way to being wide receiver 11 next year on this list.
We'll see. I mean, I definitely don't think he's going to finish too far out of it. So I will agree that Alshon Jeffrey, great receiver, great guy, and he's definitely fantasy football relevant, at the very worst, a wide receiver too. I'm going to pick an obvious one here. I'll pick an obvious one and then a not-so-obvious one. My obvious one's going to be Odell Beckham Jr., the New York Giants. This is assuming that he can actually play at least more than 12 games like he did in 2018. He's been a bit on the injury-prone side. But he was able to pass 1,000 yards receiving in only 12 games. He had 6 touchdowns in those 12 games, which is pretty good. And he's just a phenomenal receiver all around. I know you hate him as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. I already know. He's whiny, he's a crybaby, but he's a good receiver, and I think he's going to make his way into the top 12.
See, I'm the total opposite. I don't mind Odell Beckham. I think he's insanely talented. I wish he was on the Eagles. He's one of those guys that, you know, I hate that he's on a different team, but I would love him on the Eagles. You know, he does some stupid things on the field for sure, but I think Odell's a phenomenal wide receiver, and he's just one of those guys that you hate because he's on a rival team. I don't necessarily hate Odell the person.
You hate Odell the Giant.
I hate Odell the Giant, yeah. And I think Odell being on this list also plays a key factor in if he gets traded, because there's trade rumors with him swirling around left and right. Yeah. So I think that also plays a factor. I don't know where he would end up on this list just because Eli Manning is beyond dumpster fire. He's more washed than laundry, and I think that'll play a factor. So I don't know where he would slot into this list, but he'll definitely be on it.
Yeah, he's got to be. And this next guy, you're gonna kill me for bringing up. Just me saying that probably gives it away. My top 12 receiver that was only short by 5 spots is Amari Cooper. The Dallas Cowboys.
Ugh.
So I'll let you give your take first, and then I'll rebuttal it.
I'll admit, I was wrong about Amari Cooper going to the Cowboys.
Oh, dude, we all were. We all laughed when they gave up a first-round pick.
I was wrong. I still think it was dumb that they gave up a first-round pick. Don't get me wrong on that part. I still think the trade was dumb from that perspective. But his production, I was completely wrong about. I hate to admit that I was wrong when it pertains to the Cowboys. But I still don't know how he's going to be next year. I still don't trust Dak Prescott. We talked about that, previously, you know, me and you just saying how we don't know how he's going to be. I don't know about Amari Cooper. I just don't know. He's kind of one of those guys that's in limbo for me, where I don't know what he's going to do next year.
I just think his connection with Dak was just...
Which is weird, because Dak never has connections with wide receivers.
It was just weird.
Dak is whack.
Good. He's good. Not Dak. Well, Dak's okay. But Amari Cooper is good. I mean, you're going to hate that I'm bringing this up, but he had 50 fantasy points against the Philadelphia Eagles in week 14.
Just remember, we had the Walmart special secondary out there. So,
I know.
And Amari got a nice little bounce in overtime, and the refs kind of messed us up from the get-go in that one. So Amari didn't do all of that on his own.
Regardless, 10 catches for 217 yards and 3 touchdowns in a single game. I do have to remind everyone on this. So he didn't start playing with the Cowboys until week 9. His first game was against Tennessee, I believe. In those final 7 or 8 games in which he was a Dallas Cowboy, he did have 3 games where he did have single-digit fantasy points, which is always a bit of a red flag. But for the most part, he was pretty consistent. He had 17 points, 14 points, 38 points, 14 points, and then 50. He's not going to get another 50-yard or another 50-point game. That's just ludicrous. But I think he turns into one of these guys where you can almost guarantee at least 14 points from him each week, and that's phenomenal in terms of production.
I just view Amari Cooper kind of like Oakland Raiders Michael Crabtree. That's how I see him in 2019. I'll leave it at that.
But there you have it.
Ironically, Oakland Raiders.
So, 3 guys from the NFC East in Odell Beckham, Amari Cooper, and Alshon Jeffrey, and then T.Y. Hilton are all big potentials to sneak into the top 12 in 2019.
Plus, this is a half-decent wide receiver class in the draft, too, so some of these rookies could pop out depending on where they get drafted to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you guys haven't already, go to Underground Sports Philadelphia. Myself and Mr. Andrew Helfman, we sat down. We did a NFL mock draft. We're actually going to be doing another one next week now that everything's a bit more updated. But we had 3 receivers going in the first round. And mind you, we made this mock draft about a month ago now. But I still see all 3 of those receivers going in the first round. And you're right. The receiving class is just unreal.
Do yourselves a favor, everybody that's listening to this. Look up DK Metcalf and look how swole that man is. And
dude,
tell me
he's a house.
Tell me he's not going to be a beast.
He's a house. If I could compare him to someone, he would be Maui from Moana. He's ginormous.
He's already got the best nickname coming into the league. I'm calling him Donkey Kong all year. DK Metcalf, that's a football name. He's a stud. He's that big and he's only 21 years old. Get the hell out of here. He's too good. I'm just ready for him to play.
How many random drug tests do you think he gets in the first season?
Too many to count.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts, but he's huge. And then you have A.J. Brown coming in too, who is, I think, a little bit overhyped, but I still think he's a phenomenal talent. He's
speaking of A.J.'s, hot take, NFL draft time too. The Bengals capitalize and help the rebuild, and A.J. Green gets traded. I don't know where, but he gets traded.
Oh my God, we forgot about A.J. Green.
That we did. And that's because he's getting traded.
Oh my God. Well,
it here first on the Goal Line Fantasy Football Podcast. Draft weekend, A.J. Green is getting traded somewhere.
Where would be optimal for his fantasy production?
I could see, let me think. The Jets could be a potential nice landing spot with Darnold if Antonio Brown doesn't go there. I could see him potentially going to the Raiders. because they have all that draft capital, and to get them a number one wide receiver for either Derek Carr or somebody else.
I'm going to laugh my head off if the Raiders do some kind of deal and trade up and they either get a beast on defense or if they get a receiver.
Oh, 100%. I will piss my pants and it will be hilarious. But fun little insight here. I don't know if a lot of people know this. What if I told you that John Gruden was not behind those trades of Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper, but it was their former GM, Reggie McKenzie?
Oh, yeah. I feel bad for Gruden because he got so much backlash, and the reality is he really didn't have anything to do with it.
Nope, it was not him. It was Reggie McKenzie, and who still has a job and who doesn't.
Exactly. So we'll see what happens going forward, but you're right. I wouldn't be surprised to see them trade up.
AJ Green in San Francisco could be fun, too.
I agree. I also wouldn't mind seeing him in Indianapolis, but Indianapolis isn't going to trade for him. They have no real need to, nor do I think they have the firepower to do so. But I think no matter where AJ Green goes, I think he's another one of those guys that's got potential to sneak into the top 12. I know we kind of copped out here. We only took out two guys and we put in five. but it's true. I mean, the receivers in the NFL are so good. They were so good in 2018. They're going to be so good in 2019. I mean, the NFL has just completely changed, and it is an offensive league, to say the least. So any of these guys you could count on to be your wide receiver one, let's be honest.
I thought of another fun spot for AJ Green too.
Let's hear it.
Your Carolina Panthers.
Oh, dude, I would love that.
Because I think Devin Funchess is not good. And
Devin Funchess has to go, dude.
I think DJ Moore would be better suited right now as a wide receiver too. You put AJ Green on the opposite side. You have Torrey Smith in the slot. That would be a lot of fun.
I agree completely. I know you've listened to it, and I know I already told everyone to go listen to it, but if you haven't listened to it, go listen to the NFL draft coverage that Andrew Helfman and I produced, because I actually talked about DJ Moore and how much I don't think he is the wide receiver one in Carolina, and how much I wish they would have got Calvin Ridley instead of DJ Moore. I still don't forgive them for that. But AJ Green could be very intriguing. It'll be, I think it's a bit of a reach just because of the uncertainty with Cam Newton, and AJ Green isn't one of those guys where you'd want to waste a year on his contract since he is getting up there in age. I'd be pumped.
Yeah, I think AJ Green in Carolina, chop chop, needs to happen. Riverboat Ron, let's get on it. Save your job and get AJ Green to Carolina. That'd be a lot of fun.
I would love that. But anyway, hope you guys love the podcast today. We got a lot of cool stuff coming out for you. Hopefully you're up to date with everything now. If you're not, go listen to the quarterbacks, the running backs, and the tight ends. Stay up to date with Underground Sports Philadelphia with the NFL draft coverage.
I think we need to do an episode, Mikey, for the other two fantasy positions, being the kickers and the defenses.
Oh, yeah. Everyone would love to hear about that.
I think we could do a combo episode with kickers and defense, because there are some pretty high-scoring kickers and some high-scoring defenses.
You know what? Let's do it. So stay tuned. That'll be the next pod that we pump out. Now, one thing that we definitely have to talk about on that pod is, should kickers even be in fantasy? Because I know that's a huge question right now.
That's a fun discussion. I think that would be a nice little segment on that one. So we definitely got to make that happen.
Yeah, you know what? It's done. It's going to happen. But there you have it, sports fans. For myself, for Kyle, for Underground Sports Philadelphia, for Goal Line Fantasy, we are signing out. We hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Make sure you're following Kyle. Make sure you're following me. Make sure you're following Underground and Goal Line on Twitter. And keep up to date with us on Spotify, SoundCloud, Apple Music, or however you get your podcasts fixed. We're signing off. Have a good one, guys.
Peace. Thank you.